Welcome to the In Hope Podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Preach.
And I'm Brandon. And each week we drop an episode to strengthen unity in the body of Christ.
We want you to be part of the conversation. So make sure you like, share, subscribe, and let's talk.
Right? Corrupt the truth is the first thing the devil will do. Now, the second thing, number two on this, we talked about how he's already doing number one. We see that he twists God's word so that lies feel like truth. He blurs moral lines so people can't tell right from wrong. He makes the Bible seem outdated and oppressive. These are all things that he's doing to corrupt the truth. Number two is that he will divide and isolate. That is step number two in the devil's game plan to destroy this generation, is to divide and isolate. What's the first thing that comes to your mind? Because there's a lot that just, I'm like, okay, that's why, as I said, my friend was reading this, I'm like, that's what's happening. That's what he's doing.
Oh, yeah.
Is there anything that kind of pops to your mind when you hear
there's
that?
A couple of things. Well, briefly, because we already talked about it, I don't want to get back into it, but the denominational splits and just how that's continuing to go forward, split. But then on more of like a personal level, I think loneliness is at an epidemic level.
Yes, it is. Absolutely.
When we've been isolated by pandemic and then by social media and just we feel connected, but not.
It's a false connection.
It's a false connection
because it's the not corruption real of the
human.
Truth.
Yeah, it's not that human human. Yeah, we can lie to ourselves and think, "Whoa, I'm more connected than I've ever been," because you have more acquaintances than you've ever had, but no deep connection. Yeah. No, like I'm sitting with you, talking about my life, praying together.
Yeah,
all those things, and that's not. It's getting worse and worse.
Yeah.
And as we get into probably what's coming, right, we got more and more virtual reality stuff coming, which will just be more substitutions. So there's a lot of substitutions for
substituting what's true
for community,
for
which we were built for.
Yeah.
And so that like isolation and loneliness, I see that being probably just a big tactic right
there. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, and it's sad. There is a growing number. It's becoming more and more common to hear people say that they prefer what's false to what's true. They prefer the artificial, even artificial intelligence. I'm sure you've heard the rise of like the AI girlfriends, right?
That is so scary.
So
actually.
You have.
That is going, people that is who going are, to destroy.
I'm telling you, you have people who are preferring what's false to what's true. I believe this is one of the big triggers
because
behind porn. And porn addiction. There's just this false acceptance, this false control. And you have people who are being more and more drawn to and even choosing what is false over what's true because what's false is easier. It's
easier. It fulfills some kind of lust or self satisfaction.
Yeah. That you quickly, could get to, but it would
but
take
usually,
more.
Usually ends in addiction of some sort because it's not
Absolutely.
It's not a real fulfilling.
Nope.
So you need to keep coming back to it.
Exactly.
And tapping. And that's true for like even just likes and acknowledgement.
Exactly.
Through how social media works in that way.
And that's why people will check their likes.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, literally, this is why we check our likes, right? It's because it gives us that dopamine hit.
A little bit of dopamine.
And a feeling of approval, acceptance.
And then if you go viral and get that, and then like your next one doesn't, then there's like this depression that comes with that. Or like, I'm not good enough. And you start putting your value and your worth in that. And that's the tools of the enemy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so it's interesting because even back to the use of drug substances, when we talk about substance abuse, right? I mean, we can talk about social you know, media abuse,
social substance abuse,
right? And internet abuse and porn addictions and all those different kinds of things.
Yeah.
When you're talking about those types of, because they are addictions, even though sometimes we don't want to talk about it, people can become addicted to their social media and all that type of stuff. We're talking about the dopamine hits, the satisfaction, the very temporary false satisfaction that we're getting from these things. It's doing just like drugs do for us.
Yeah.
And often drugs are a quicker way of seemingly fulfilling some type of need, and it never really solves the issue. It never really does. It just suppresses it. It pushes it down. It pushes it forward. It kicks the can down the road, so to speak. And that's why you always have to keep on coming back to it and keep coming back to it. And the same thing happens with our media, whether that's you're on social media, you're watching something and unplugging, you're using people. Sometimes we'll use people that we know will give us that sense of satisfaction and approval, that relationship's completely horrible for us, but we'll use that relationship to give us some type of sense of satisfaction, belonging, and value. Mm-hmm. And we do that because it's easier and it's quicker than the other route, which usually the other route is actually dealing with the issue. Right. And so it takes more time.
Yeah.
It takes you to a better place, makes you more healthy overall. But that's not a quick fix.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like the wide and narrow gates, right?
Absolutely.
When he talks about that.
Absolutely.
Like the road to destruction is wide and easy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's easy to stay on. You don't have to work at it. Mm. The road to God and to a better life is a narrower gate. And any leadership outside secular will tell you the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, the road to success is
narrow
and hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it can feel isolating.
And it can
absolutely be isolating. Man. So he's going to divide. He's going to isolate. We see more, even though we're more connected than we have ever been.
Yeah.
We are also more isolated. There is more isolation and depression when it comes to mental health, more isolation, depression, and anxiety than ever before. And so there is a false sense of connection that is appeasing, but only making the issue worse when we're relying on these false senses of connection and community. And so we have divide and isolate. The first bullet point, there's two bullet points under this one. Number one, pit people against each other by race, politics, gender, beliefs, so they never unite in love. Pit people against each other by race, politics, gender, beliefs, and so on.
Basically, the anti of what we're trying to do, like with this, right? We're always talking about unity.
Mm-hmm.
It's anti-unity. It's trying to bring us against each other.
Absolutely.
And you see why unity is important then, because it is what the downfall will be.
Absolutely.
Is disunity.
Yeah. I mean, it's so interesting. I think I shared a little bit about this when talking about the four flows of communicative constitution of organization. We're talking about that and how that relates to organization's health, and how that directly relates to unity as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because really what this is when you divide, you do destroy. I mean, they're pretty much synonyms. To break something down, to break it into pieces, to divide it, to dismantle it, you are destroying it. Versus when you're building something up, you're bringing things into unity. You're making it healthy and work together. And that is your opposites there. So when you see disunity, you're seeing destruction. That's why the enemy tries to put that in there, right? And then that's why God calls us to unity, and why that's one of the big pieces here in this reconciliation ministry that God calls us to be a part of, and this idea of us being one and the world knowing who he is by us being one, and the world recognizing us by our love for one another, and all these different things, the idea of the body working together, right, to glorify God, these are all unity factors of which the more unified we are, the more organized we are, the healthier we are, the more prosperous. but the more we move towards success, fulfillment, and really what we're meant to be, versus this idea of dividing and breaking down. And now, with that in mind, because I can hear somebody's typing into the comments right now, so I'm gonna have him erase it unless he doesn't get to this part. But somebody's typing into the comments right now, and they're saying, "Oh yeah, well then, what about things like the power of Babel, the Tower of Babel? Because they were all unified, and that wasn't a good thing." And
right.
And God, yeah. Yeah, that's so true. And that's why we also see Jesus say that he was not casting out demons by the prince of demons, because the devil knows that any kingdom divided cannot stand. The devil's not stupid. That's mm-hmm. why this is one of his game plans, is to divide us.
Yeah.
Because he knows that, look, if I can divide the people of God, then it's going to weaken them. Yeah. And I can do what I want here, right? And he knows that humanity itself, if he can divide the family, if he could pit, you know, sons against fathers and mothers against daughters and parents against each other. And if you can destroy the family and divide the family, society's done. Yeah. Right. If I can divide this nation and just make it so bipartisan that no matter what one side does, then we're always going to have this. Not like I'm talking about America or anything. We're always going to have, you know, this. Then he knows, OK, destruction's on its way.
Yep. Like, well, and to use a reference that maybe many people will understand if you're nerdy like me.
Yeah.
Like Lord of the Rings is come a prime example.
Come on
of that.
Now.
How
don't you break up that fellowship.
It's them fighting against each other.
Yeah.
Keeps them from coming together as a bigger
exactly
force
yep.
that can actually defeat the demons. So
yeah,
the,
or the, exactly.
The devil, so
yeah.
to speak, which is the enemy in that.
Yeah.
And so if he can keep them fighting against each other and not accepting lordships
exactly.
and all those things that they were fighting about, or you know, they didn't help us back then, so I'm not going to help them now, and all that kind of stuff that we fight about.
Exactly.
Then he's going to win.
Yeah. Come on, guys. And look, if you ain't on that LOR status, first of all, we're going to need to pray for you. So let us know. Comment. I need prayer. I need to watch LOL. LOR, right?
LOL.
So you know, just go ahead and put that in the comments. You know, I haven't watched.
Do it together.
You know,
LOR
we're
together.
Gonna pray. Yeah, no, LOR. So first of all, let's handle that. If you haven't watched that, but secondly, if you're not on that status, maybe you've watched something like Walking Dead. This was like my biggest pet peeve with Walking Dead, and it was really like one of those underlying moral truths, like what do they call it? The moral of the story, one of those principles underlying the whole thing. The people kept fighting against each other, and that's why they weren't able to overcome the walkers.
Mm.
Every single time.
Yeah,
there was.
Well, that's true of a lot of movies
well.
Too, right?
Yeah,
like even Star Wars, I think had similar things along those lines, and just and you see the enemies. There's a reason why movies tend to kind of parallel a lot of what
parallel
the
Bible truth.
And the
truth
and
stuff, absolutely,
and the fight against good and evil, because that's what most movies are about. Is the fight against good and evil because it's reality,
yeah.
and so people take that creativity and make it into a movie.
And that's so why it lands.
And you see that
that's
tactic.
Why
it's
it
right
hits.
There.
Like, that's why it works
over
in
and
movies,
over again.
Because
the enemy tries to split up the people that are supposed to be working together. And it's when they finally do come together at the end that's when they're
able to overcome. Yeah. Yep. So, okay. Come on, guys.
I just wanted to throw out a statistic. I did look it up
to kind of see.
But 1 in 3 adults will say they're lonely once a week.
There you go.
So 30%.
Boom. 1 in 3 people.
So that's grown.
1 in 3 people.
1 in 3 people.
That's ridiculous.
Consider themselves to be lonely. And I think that's growing.
That is so.
And it's probably going to grow more as like you said, like the AI girlfriends and stuff. Uh-huh. That's not going to help loneliness. It's going to it's going to mask something,
it, and then it's going to make it worse.
It's going to make it worse.
Yeah,
and I'm genuinely concerned about the AI girlfriend stuff.
Oh yeah,
not only for what it's going to do to the people who are using it, but also what it's going to do to the people who get in relationships with people that have been using it.
Same thing with porn.
Yeah, right? Because there's an expectation. One of the things I saw, and I've been meaning to actually post about this, so I'm going to say it here, on one of the ads is like the girl that doesn't say no.
Exactly.
And you're presenting that to boys who, of course, want to explore whatever stupid thing comes into their head. And so then I have my daughters going out there into this world, competing against this AI thing, and that's they're going to project those things onto my daughters.
Exactly.
And I'm like, that scares me.
Yep.
And I'm like, man, we got to fight against that.
Exactly. Oh man, that's so true. We're going to pit people against each other by race, politics, gender, beliefs.
That hasn't happened at all in the last 4 years.
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, I feel like you'd have to go all the way back to the 60s,
yeah,
like for something like that.
Non-existent.
No, absolutely. I mean, we see these kinds of things every single day, both in and outside of the church, sadly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Both in and outside of the church, we see people being pit against. And this is one of those things where a challenge to the body of Christ is that we are able to rise above these things.
Yeah. When this kind of actually brings me back to one of those things where it says making evil seem normal, or I can't remember exactly what it said, something along those lines. This happens in the youth a lot.
Yes.
And I hear, because what I hear from youth is they're like tearing each other down verbally and being racist towards each other and things like that. And it's all like, well, that, and they all laugh it off because it's supposed to be funny. But what that does is it allows them to. That's the truth that they're trying to accept. It's like, well, it's just joke. We're just joking. We all are fine with each other. But we've tried to tell our kids this over and over again. It's like, but you're still saying the words, and those words erode on people.
Absolutely.
Whether they believe it or not.
Exactly.
And they it does affect self-esteem when someone's constantly telling you what a dork you are or whatever. Because they're so harsh with each other, especially boys.
Yeah.
I think. And probably girls, too.
And they'll try to shrug it off in front of each other.
That's just the way we talk to each other.
It sits in the back of the mind.
It's the same words over and over again. Because usually there's some bit of truth in what how they feel about what they're saying.
Exactly.
But because they've been given this permission to say these things over and over again in like this joking way, then it just erodes, and over time it's destructive.
Yeah. Man, that's so true. If we could be more intentional about edifying each other.
Oh. Yeah,
with the words we say, honoring each other with the words that we say, building each other up. Paul talks about this.
Well, that was like the primary existence of the Holy Spirit in our lives is to edify each other.
Yeah, right?
To edify the church.
Exactly.
Which is us.
Come on now. So, so that's one. If we could, and what's so interesting about it, and like you said, this kind of goes back to even blurring the lines of right and wrong and making what's wrong seem normal and what's right seem abnormal.
Mm-hmm.
If we're honest, it can be uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's abnormal
and
to compliment.
Yeah. Like, even so much so to where, especially if you are complimenting someone of the opposite sex.
Oh, sure.
Then it's either, they're hitting on him.
Right. Yeah, you must.
Creeper, hitting, like whatever it may be.
Yeah.
But then even when it comes to like guys encouraging each other and lifting each other up, saying positive things.
Oh, that's tough. Saying, yeah.
Man, and why? Culture. Why is it so hard? This is something that we're encouraged to do.
Yeah.
And it's so easy to trash talk each other.
Oh, yeah, the brotherly love section of the New Testament is it's all there, like,
right,
and very strong.
Absolutely,
like greeting each other with a holy kiss, all that kind of stuff. That's gone to the wayside.
Exactly, and so that's something that, man, you can see that this dividing and this isolating, this corrupting of truth.
Yeah,
because if we were able to speak even that truth clearly, when we're able to look at each other and say, you know, I admire this about you. You do this well. But like we were saying earlier, we can't put those things on the table.
Mm-hmm.
Those are awkward. And so now we're taking these things off the table and we're taking the truth off the table. And what remains? All the negative.
Yeah.
All the bad. Like it's still there, right? That's still going to be part of the. And so, and that's one of those things is, look, we're going to, whether you can be on the side of things where you're saying, oh, well, I'm not going to do anything negative. I'm not going to say anything bad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But that's still going to be there. So what are you adding into the mix? Like, are you going to add the positive things? Because the truth is, there is always an enemy. There is always this negative push that's coming at us.
Yeah. And if we're not pushing
and
back.
And if we're just saying, I'm just going to stand here and I'm not going to do anything, then we're all just going to get pushed.
Yeah.
But if we push back.
God does not call us to be idle.
Uh-uh. Absolutely. Nope. We have to push back.
That's not the call.
So that's very true here when it comes to this idea of us being pit against each other. We need to be intentional about reaching across lines. We need to be intentional about saying we're not going to become enemies, right? And being able to love and unite through love versus trying to.
And we need to be intentional about fighting false, substitutes.
Yeah.
Right. Because that's absolutely. Like we said, the AI girlfriend, absolutely. Those things, those are easy. And it's going to be hard to say no as it continues to get easier and easier.
Yeah.
And so it takes a fight and don't do it alone.
Yeah.
That's the other isolation part, right? Is that when we mess up, we feel like we have to do it alone.
Yeah. Yeah. Man. Well, as you said intentional about fighting false obstacles. And it made me think like we need to be intentional about not loving what's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to be intentional about fighting what's wrong.
Yeah.
And something that
fighting for what is right.
Yeah. And the enemy, so the devil loves when we demonize someone else because now we're fighting this person as the demon and he's off scot-free.
Oh, I'm going to pull up a scripture.
So it's like he loves giving a scapegoat for himself to where we can now, we're going to demonize this person, that thing, this group. We're going to demonize those and we're looking at them as though they're the devil. And now the devil is just running around free, able to do what he wants to do. He's over here teasing our head and we're not fighting him because we're fighting other people thinking that it's him.
Yeah. And we need to see that it's the behind the scenes.
Yep,
it's
exactly.
The spiritual. And this is in the verse that talks about the armor of God.
Oh, yeah.
And it's Ephesians 6:12. And he says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places.
Yeah.
I'll go ahead and finish it out. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day and having done everything to stand firm.
Yeah.
And then it goes through the different things there.
So, yep. Pit people against each other. Number two on that, so the divide and isolate was the second battle plan. These are the sub-points, pit people against each other, and encourage shallow online connections while killing real friendships and community.
That's literally what it says.
Oh, literally what it says. So as we were just talking about, right?
Called out social media?
Right?
They're supposed to be buds.
Right? Shouldn't
they be friends? I don't know.
But that's so
interesting
true.
That ChatGPT is saying these things.
Yeah.
As it could also be a force for evil too.
Yeah.
And we'll see.
Right.
We'll see what those are.
But just, and again, we've always said a lot of it comes behind, you know, what's who's coding behind what is the coding saying.
That's true.
Because if the coding all of a sudden starts removing things like biblically speaking, right?
Right.
And Bible references, and now it starts to twist like, things.
According to
yeah.
Bar Jesus.
Right. But what's it called? But for now, we were just touching on this. So I find it very interesting that it says encourage shallow online connections mm-hmm. while killing real friendships and community.
Yeah.
That reminds me of this idea. And this is kind of what we were talking about with that replacing with the quick fix substitutes that are mm-hmm. just cover ups. It's that idea of, look, a burger from the dumpster tastes great to someone who hasn't
eaten. Yeah.
And can't get anything else, right? And so if we are living in this pool of shallow online connections, then we're gonna, you know, we'll eat it up and we'll feel like this is where we're getting the connection, the acceptance and whatnot. But it's because we've never been able to get the real thing.
Yeah.
And so
it's like another burger reference. It's like the idea of fast food. It's cheaper and faster.
Yeah.
And so we take the cheap and easy road because it's sad and it's satisfying.
Yeah.
They even taste good. But eventually, if you were to take that versus the hard road of making your own, making sure your beef is good quality and it doesn't have high fat, paying a little extra for it because it costs a little more. And getting good high quality ingredients and then eating those same things over time, this one's going to destroy you.
Absolutely.
And this one actually could lead to a pretty healthy body.
Exactly.
If you're doing all the right
ingredients
and taking the time to make sure they're right.
Exactly. And if you're willing to go through that, to take the time, get the right ingredients, prepare it. And what's so cool is you're preparing it and you prepare it again and you prepare it again. So you get better. And better at preparing it. Yeah. And eventually
yours will actually
this
be way better.
It's going to be so much better. But
I make the best burgers myself.
Right? Exactly. And so, you have to be willing to go through that process of getting
more work.
Shallow connections or real relationships.
Yeah. Are you going to spend time like calling your friends, making sure you get a time to hang out, going in and, Bible studying together, like, are you going to, that all takes work.
It does.
Are you going to fight through that you guys might not always get along? I might not always agree on everything.
Right.
And are you going to actually take the time to sit down and work? This is one of the things I see the most is like some rift happens and instead of working through it to become better friends, it's like, well, let's go find another friend.
Exactly.
And especially in social media, so you can just unfollow.
Exactly.
Like that's even more easy.
Well, they've made it to where like it'll erase everything about that person on your profile for you.
Yeah, you could just completely neglect to go through the battle.
Like that's an awesome feature, but I think it's also telling.
Right. Well, that means we're never growing too, right? There's a whole like another thing we could talk about there with where a lot of times us going through conflict is because we need to change something. Mm-hmm. Like we need to grow. And if we're always able to just like, oh, okay, well, that didn't work out, so I'm just going to go this other one, then we're never going to become better humans either.
Yeah, absolutely. Man, okay. Any final thoughts on this? We hit on corrupt the truth.
I might be a bigger fan of ChatGPT now.
Oh, yeah. There we go. See,
that's the trick, though, right? He might just be doing this bait and switch. It's like, here's all this great information that's true.
Mm-hmm.
And then bam.
Bam.
Going to hit us with the false. I don't know. You never know.
But what's it called? So we started with corrupt the truth.
Yeah.
Twist God's word so that lies feel like truth. Blur moral lines. Make the Bible outdated and oppressive. Make it seem that way.
Yeah.
And then number two, divide and isolate, pit people against each other, encourage shallow online connections while killing the real friendship and community. Another big thing with that community is neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
I love talking to some of the older people in the neighborhood and they'll express how they remember neighborhoods like coming together and doing things and they're like, nobody talks to each other anymore.
Or the family unit.
Yeah.
The killing of the family.
Absolutely.
Unit and kind of like destruction of the nuclear family.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a big one.
That's a huge one. That's what I was, I'm saying even earlier, right? If we can divide the family, if we can divide it, just think about if you had better community within your neighborhoods, how much of a difference that would make within our lives and within society. If just even just the neighborhood itself.
Even the protection that comes from that.
Exactly.
Like,
oh, absolutely.
A neighborhood that's connected is more protected.
Absolutely.
Than a neighborhood that is not connected.
Oh, yeah. So, man, the enemy, he's at work. He's doing these things.
Yeah, successfully, unfortunately. Yeah.
Exactly. And unfortunately, it can be he's very successful in a lot of it. But I think this is, again, one of those encouragements, challenges to say, hey, okay, we need to be intentional about coming against this.
Yeah, we need to come together and fight a good fight.
Yep, absolutely. So that's two of the six things.
We can spend a lot of time on this.
Tell you, that's two of the six things.
Maybe we should spend the next couple episodes like hitting the first two fights against those two. We'll talk about it. But
okay, yeah, yeah.
And then maybe we can go even further down this rabbit hole.
Absolutely.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, right?
I mean, it's good. I don't hear anything in there that I'm like in disagreement with.
No. Again, it's one of those things to where it's funny that this is ChatGPT and this hypothetical because as we're reading this, we're saying this is what the devil is doing.
Yeah, it's literally happening.
It's literally happening.
Yeah.
And we can see it. And so, man, that's crazy. Yep. Okay. Yeah, we'll have to come back for numbers 3 through 6. And talk about those battle plans on each
I think
side.
The good news is, and just that, to leave, so we're not leaving on like the world's falling to poop, you know.
It is.
Because it is, go. To some degree. But there is, but Jesus still has the victory.
Yeah.
And I think when we get to the battle plan here, we're going to see that.
Absolutely.
The enemy has his tactics, but they haven't really changed.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus is always victorious. And there's so many good things happening too. Like
absolutely.
I just to name a few with social media, I follow a number of Christian content creators and they're reaching this next generation.
Yeah, exactly.
In fact, there's some statistics coming out. Like Bible sales are up higher than they've ever been
for
a while because of the loneliness and people are like searching for answers.
Exactly.
Like what you said, if the truth isn't there, or the truth is presented with it, eventually you're going to realize that like this other stuff is not satisfactory.
Yeah.
And we crave that truth.
Yeah.
Like it's built into us to crave it. And so eventually there's these cycles where we kind of have our falling away. And you see that all throughout the Bible. Like the Old Testament is filled with the people coming to God and then they kind of lose their way and forget and fall into a pit and then he has to kind of bring them back out.
There's
definitely like a cycle to these things. And I think we're kind of in an upswing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even though there's all this other terrible stuff happening.
And that's one of those things to where, again, God knows, the enemy knows. There's usually like this back and forth.
Yeah.
And it's just like if you're somebody who watches markets, right? Like whether you're watching the housing market, you're watching the stock market, you're watching whatever it may be, then we know things rarely ever just go straight up or straight down.
Yeah.
There is a you have to watch and see what the trend is. And on the trend, there's going to be ups and downs. Even in the trend, you have to see that there's ups and downs in it.
Yeah.
And with that, the goal is for the trend to continue downward. The enemy's okay with a little bit of upswing as long as we don't really take that momentum and all of a sudden change the trajectory.
Yeah.
But that is what the church needs to do when we see those opportunities. This was happening with like all these revivals happening around college campuses.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that was another example of what I feel like social media algorithms silencing that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because those things were on and popping. There was revivals going on across college campuses all throughout the U.S. And unless you fed that into your algorithm, you didn't hear about it very much, right?
And the news wasn't.
And the news wasn't covering it.
Yeah.
But you had, and we're even talking like top-notch D1 athletes, part of these things.
Oh, yeah.
And they'll usually highlight them for other stuff, but they won't.
Yeah.
They're not going to get into these revivals and whatnot. And we're seeing that even in some sports teams in the NFL. You have some believers who are making big impacts on their teams and those kinds of things in the NFL. But you're not going to hear about any of that, right?
And that's the benefit of social media. Is that it kind of circumvents some of the mainstream stuff.
Uh-huh. And so you can catch some of that in social media if you feed it into your algorithm enough and you get lucky. Mm-hmm. But I feel like most of the time that type of stuff is suppressed and pushed down. But that's part of, I feel like, the enemy trying not to let that upswing start to catch fever too much. Because if that starts getting pushed out there, right, then that upswing might end up changing the trajectory. And so we need to know that cycles
are biblical too.
Absolutely.
Like God built in some cycles. Like
absolutely.
The years of Jubilee and like the rest of the land and all those things. They're all built in there. So sometimes you gotta kinda look into that stuff too and kinda see how that relates
absolutely
to our current times.
Absolutely. And even with all of this, like we said, I mean, there's some great things going on. Sometimes we don't get to see them. Sometimes they're not thrown in our face, like all of the bad. But even when we can't see that he's working, he is working.
Yeah.
And we can be an encouragement to one another by sharing what we've heard and what we've seen, like John and Paul, or John and Peter. John and Paul didn't really work together much, I don't think. But John and Peter, in the book of Acts, when they're pulled in because they just got arrested for preaching in the name of Jesus, and they tell them to stop. They say, if it's right for us to listen to you rather than God, you judge. But we can't help but share what we have seen and heard.
Yeah.
And we need to do that. We need to be
like
unable, but to help share, but unable to share the good
even
things
against persecution.
Yeah. That we are hearing and seeing. And sharing the good news, what God is doing and what he has done.
Yeah.
So so spread that word, guys.
So the big takeaway is getting the community.
Absolutely.
Fight against these things, these
tactics
of the enemy.
That isolation, that divide and
isolation.
I think isolation
is a really big one. Yeah.
Absolutely. And just knowing again that is a main strategy. And
that is a main strategy. Especially
the enemy's tactics.
I mentioned it briefly before, like when we fail, our tendency is to isolate, especially if you're in church leadership of any kind and you have like a failing of some sort that gets made known.
Don't let the enemy do it.
The enemy
That's
will
what
try
he
to
wants.
Isolate you every
That's
time.
That's what he wants.
And
yeah.
Like, no, you gotta hide. Can't go to your, that's where you die.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So we have to push back against that. We need to push into unity. We need to push into community. And knowing that is the exact opposite of what the enemy wants. That is exactly what God calls us to. And so he calls us into community and unity with one another.
Yeah.
Take it from ChatGPT. Don't let the enemy infiltrate your mind with lies. Or divide and isolate you. Mm. All right.
That's good.
So that's going to wrap it up for this one. I know this is probably going to be two episodes. And then we'll end up coming back for these other 3 through 6. There's some good ones here. Oh, man. There's some good ones. Maybe I'll give a sneak peek, but we'll see what happens.
Keep us in suspense over here.
Yeah, I know, right? Exactly. All right. Hey, thank you for joining us on the In Hope podcast. We love you guys. Don't forget to like, share, subscribe, and we will see you guys back next week.
See ya.